You're called to lead a nation, but your foundation as a leader has to be firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
We have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society.
People don't follow leaders who have it all together. They follow leaders who are real.
As a leader, when you think of servanthood, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that hopefully you would grow in.
If leadership is influence, everybody has influence. What are you doing with the influence you currently have?
As a leader, you're more anointed and more equipped to do what you're called to do when you are just being yourself.
At the end of my life, I don't want to look back and think, I didn't really do anything that required faith.
Circumstances don't make or break you, they reveal you.
You can bear fruit on roots that aren't very deep, but it's not gonna last.
You are not called to lead a nation based on your feelings. You're called to lead a nation where Jesus says to go.
This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Hello, JCLP family. That is right. You are hearing the voice of not Banning Leibscher, but Becky Johnson. I am so happy to say that you are in for a very Merry Christmas episode and a JCLP Ladies Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
We said, you know what, Banning, Zach, Dean, get out of here. Get out of here, Cody.
Bye. It's we time. Overpowered them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They're tied up in a closet.
That's right. They've got socks in their mouth. They're not. You can't hear their muffled screams.
You will never find them.
They have not let us back in for a ladies' podcast in a while, and it's because
they're intimidated. At least a year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be really good. We're excited. We're going to talk about Christmas and friendship and some other stuff. We can talk about whatever we want because we've got the microphones. I am Becky Johnson. I am the self-declared CEO, president, founder of the JCLP. But I'm also the communications director here at JC Sacramento, as well as the youth pastor. So,
oh big stuff.
You know, Banning doesn't even have that many titles, so it's a big deal. And I'm joined by
CJ Leibscher, the true leader of Banning Leibscher.
Yes.
And we thank you for that.
Yes.
Yes.
I am Kim Walker Smith. I'm the president of the record label, and I'm a worship leader. Bet you didn't know that.
No. No way.
You could just end at president. That would be cool.
I am president.
I'm president.
The end.
Of the United States.
Call me Prez.
That's right.
And I am Laura Burhans, and I am the bookkeeper here at Jesus Culture.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Now, Laura, this is your first time on the podcast.
It really is.
And is it, it's kind of cool because weren't you a JCLP fan before you were hired?
Yeah, still am. So 2 years ago, I was driving in my car, listening to JCLP, trying to figure out what Becky Johnson and Zach Curry looked like.
That is awesome.
You have to tell us what did you think
they
looked
like? Yeah, what did you imagine they looked like?
So Zach, I pictured being very young.
So you were shocked when you saw him and he's 85.
He's a grandpa.
No. Did you picture him with hair? People probably don't know that he doesn't have hair.
I pictured him with hair.
Like tons of flowing curly hair.
No, not that.
Flowing curly hair.
Regular man hair. Well, that was weird.
Regular man hair.
And then Becky, I think I already knew what you looked like because I think I looked you up.
Oh,
I think I stalked you.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
And now we're best friends.
We are?
Well, yes, in my eyes, we are.
Yeah. It's kind of, we've made fun of our studio before because people probably picture us in like, we talk about the Relevant podcast studio, which is beautiful, hardwood floors and microphones. And we are literally in an office with drywall patches and like two cheap IKEA tables. Like it's just, is it like if you were to go to, I don't know, your favorite like superstar's house and they lived in like some upper, like nasty little shack?
It's a little bit of a letdown.
Like, come on.
The microphones are attached to the
they
table.
Are
that's
amazing.
Like kind of fancy and stuff.
These microphones are very amazing.
Yeah.
They are high tech, state of the art.
Mm-hmm.
But worth it's millions.
Yeah, it's not so fancy. It's kind of like, yeah, we're a startup. We just, but we said that, we've said that for like 3 years. Like, we're just a startup. Keeping it cool.
Hey,
it's
guys,
awesome.
We're just humble.
Yeah.
I have a like kind of a funny story I just remembered that I think you guys all need to hear.
Okay, right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
So I have a tendency when people talk about other people, I draw a picture in my head of what I think the person looks like. So I had a friend that lived in LA and she would always talk about her coworker, Chad. And he was like a really good friend, Chad. Well, I had drawn a very distinct picture of Chad in my head. And so Chad was bald in my head.
Oh my gosh.
But he also only had one leg.
What?
And he had
who
a stump for a leg that he had to. But he was awesome. I mean, he was like super good friend. So one day,
your imagination.
My friend was telling me about how her and Chad, like, I think they went on a run. And I was like, how did he do that with only one leg?
Oh.
And she was like, what are you talking about?
That is awesome.
He was like, in my head, he really only had one leg.
I always picture people with all of their limbs. So
yes, definitely.
That was the worst one I've ever done.
Thanks
anyway.
Thanks for that.
I thought you guys would
did
like
we
to
have
know.
Our legs and arms?
You left. Definitely had your legs. Except you were pregnant in
oh, because
your podcast.
About it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I always pictured you pregnant, but that was because you were pregnant.
This is just pregnant. Well, she is perma-pregnant.
This guy
hey, that
was...
happened to me once. I was pregnant for 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks for sharing that, CJ.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, we have to do our duty because this is the Christmas podcast. We've been given the Christmas podcast. So,
Merry Christmas.
You know, and I'm gonna out
Merry
those guys
filthy animals.
Because they gave us a little like a template that we could go off of. So I'm looking at this little podcast sheet.
Okay.
And all the things they gave us are definitely like what's your favorite Christmas recipe and
yeah.
what does your like husband we all bake. Want for Christmas?
Like we're the little women at home.
Yeah. So we're gonna turn this thing around.
That's right. That's right.
Here and we're gonna talk about what we want to do for Christmas.
Yes.
What we like to do.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are some of your guys' favorite Christmas traditions?
Cutting the tree down. It's by far my favorite.
Do you do it legally?
Because
don't you have to
not
get a
always. Most of the time it's legal.
Okay.
I found this really good Christmas tree farm that's like eco-friendly, so they like regrow the tree from the stump, and
nice.
I'm into that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite thing is going out the day after Thanksgiving, cutting down the tree.
That's fun.
Putting my husband to work, that's watching good. Him sweat a little bit.
And you have like that kind of husband, like
yes.
So if you guys know Derek, you yeah. look him up. He's not. He actually said, Kim, I wanted to go cut down a tree this year, and he likes to just go to like the lot and pick one out.
Oh,
I was like, let's go drive up to like Tahoe or something and cut down a tree. And he's like, I'm not Skylar.
That's awesome.
My outdoorsy husband.
Yes. Yeah, so
rugged.
He
Skylar.
Grows
his own tree.
I wouldn't be
and
surprised.
Then he cuts it down by looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you will be cut down.
No, and Vanning and Derek will get together with a butter knife. Like, how are we going to get this tree down?
Do they have trees at home depot?
I don't know what to do. Do you have a saw? What's a saw?
Derek's like, I have a guitar string. Oh my gosh. Terrible.
Oh my gosh.
What about you guys?
Oh gosh.
CJ, you're a Christmas lover.
I am. I really get crazy with the decorations. I love my son is probably my favorite at Christmas time because he like the girls kind of are like, eh, whatever, mom. He loves every Christmas tradition.
Oh,
like loves it, goes over the top, like wants to discuss when we're going to go look at lights, when we're going to make gingerbread houses, all the stuff that nobody else thinks is neat, but he thinks it's neat. But, oh, I did think, this is probably my one thing I love. This is the one time of year I lie through my teeth to everyone.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
do you like to lie? Do you like?
I don't. I'm not somebody who lies, but man, when it comes to a Christmas present, I will look you straight in the eye and tell you, no, you are
wow.
not getting that gift.
Wow.
Like, it will be, I will do whatever it takes to surprise my kids on Christmas.
Awesome.
And if somebody ruins a Christmas gift for my kids, like, I don't get angry. I am angry.
Oh, right. My gosh. That's
like,
awesome.
Don't mess. I will lie
Sacred.
To you. I will pin you down. Christmas gifts are a big deal to me.
Good to
Duly
know.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
We're all afraid.
Yep.
I'm not even going to look at your kids this holiday season.
No, this
I know
year,
nothing. Don't look at me.
I have the best gift for my girls.
Really?
Oh.
Tell us. Tell us.
I can't because when
I'm
does this come
kidding.
Out?
It comes up before, but they don't know. They don't listen.
What if they do? What if their friends do?
Raya probably listens.
Oh,
Raya
does.
Yeah, she does.
Okay, you'll
She's like, Kim's going to be on. I'm listening.
Yeah.
What about you, Kim?
Oh, we've got a lot of quirky traditions, but probably one of my favorites is my mom every year would buy us some sort of ridiculous Christmas pajamas that we have to open on Christmas Eve. Yep. So it would always be like, okay, Christmas Eve, you get to open one present. We'd all be like, oh, I wonder what it is. Every year it's pajamas.
Hey, I do that too, okay?
But the pajamas would just get like crazier and crazier every year. And then one year she decided to try to sew some pajama pants for the guys.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't think my mom is really a sewer. Oh. And they were probably about 6 times their size.
They
were like these giant, massive pants that they couldn't keep on. They were really embarrassing and ridiculous funny.
Wow. Yeah. Are you going to do that with your kids?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do the yeah.
Oh, yeah. I already got them for my boys, actually. And they didn't have it in bear size, but for Wyatt, it's a little red kind of long john pajamas with the flap on the behind.
Yes. Oh, I'm getting one of those for Ellie this year.
Yes. I got a matching pair for Skylar.
Yes!
My favorite word.
That's awesome.
Okay, here's another thing. And I made us take our family Christmas picture in the pajamas.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, that is the best. Did you have your dogs in the family picture?
Stella jumped up into the picture. Duke didn't want to join us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of his MO, though.
He's a little shy.
Yeah. It's just Duke. Yeah. I'm like you guys. I love all things Christmas. I love it all. The tree, everything. I think Gingerbread House is my favorite.
Really?
We always do a gingerbread house.
Do you make the gingerbread or do you buy the kit?
We've done both. We've bought the kit before. It's definitely way easier. Or we've used graham crackers before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is going to be my first year doing it with my daughter Lucy. And so Derek's like the... He's like the convenient, like he's like everything. He's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we can buy it. He's like, we could buy a gingerbread already put together and just put on the decorations. I'm like, what is your problem?
I actually am so a fan of it because the stinking frosting.
That's what he said. He's like, it's going to be everywhere.
It doesn't work. You have to make it extra thick or the stupid walls don't. You spend half the time making the walls stand up.
It's true.
Wow. And then my kids are like, I hate making gingerbread houses. And then I actually build the houses for them now.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
Let them come back and do the frosting because otherwise I lose them.
Yeah. That makes sense. I did gingerbread houses with your kids one time when I was like 21 or 22.
Yeah.
And it was so crazy. Because they each had a friend over. Uh-huh. And I'm being me. I was like, okay, guys, here's the M&M pile. Here are the Nerds. Mm-hmm. Here are the peppermints. And they looked at me like I was from another planet. And then they just just it all went everywhere. And I was like, oh, my God.
And Becky was found rocking and holding herself in the corner.
I don't do anything halfway. I mean, if we're going to do crazy gingerbread houses, we all got to have a friend. I mean, what fun is it to do without a friend?
There were six kids under the age of 10 building gingerbread
houses.
Was
this at your house?
No, it was at their house. But
okay, well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I like to keep things neat, so it was...
Hey, I put plastic down so I could, hose them off afterwards.
Okay, and then last question. Have you guys eaten the gingerbread houses? Because they stay out forever.
No.
Do you ever eat them?
That's gross.
I know, I do.
I don't make them or eat them.
You don't do either?
No.
You gotta try it?
I think I've made one, and I definitely ate it.
I ate it, but it, sat out for a while, but I was like... I love gingerbread.
I mean,
you guys think about, well,
if it sits out all month and then you eat it, what?
Wait, all month?
I'm not proud of it, but I definitely have eaten one. That's pretty old.
Imagine all my kids and all their hands touching every candy and icing, and then you went and ate it.
I'm out.
I don't know if I know. I didn't even think that through, honestly.
I didn't eat the ones her kids made, but I've eaten ones that I've made. But that means my grubby hands were all over it as well.
Well, yeah, but you're pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's okay to eat your own grub. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with that.
It's just like the lake was probably four. You probably had some boogies in that frosting.
Oh, yeah. No way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we're going to be talking about the topic of leading with friends. I'm excited to dive into that. But before that, we're going to spread some more Christmas cheer with our Christmas album, Spotlight.
Kim Walker Smith's latest full-length album, When Christmas Comes, rings in the holiday season packed with 17 Christmas classics. Drawing from hits such as I'll Be Home for Christmas and Winter Wonderland, to the sacred carols including The First Noel and Away in a Manger.
I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is.
powerfully delivers a timeless collection that will no doubt become a household staple for years to come. Kim Walker Smith, When Christmas Comes, available on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, and of course, at JesusCulture.com.
Well, like we said, we're getting into the topic now, and in this month we're talking about leading with friends. And we did a women's gathering recently at JC Sacramento, our local church, and CJ, you headed up the women's gathering.
Yes.
Yes, you loved it.
Yes,
it was awesome.
It was amazing.
And so we invited all the women in the community to come, and CJ, it was like a night of friendship, and she had a panel up there. She spoke a little bit, shared her heart, and then invited this panel of women from really all different walks of life and different ages, and it was really cool. And
yeah,
the feedback was amazing, and they just talked about friendship and what that was like and how it looks different for everybody. And so friendship is a huge part of leadership. This is the Leadership Podcast, and one of the main things that we say is you can't be an isolated leader, you can't be alone, and friends play such an important role in your journey as a leader. And I like what someone, maybe Chris Valentin, or I heard someone from Bethel say that you kind of live on three levels. Like, you live with people that you're pointing to, people that are pointing to you, and then people that you're just running alongside of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always, like, kind of at every season in my life, I'm assessing, like, okay, do I have that going on? I think I've most recently been in a season where I've noticed that middle one was lacking. Like, oh, I've got people I'm pointing to, I've got people pointing to me, but there's not anybody that I'm really, like, running alongside of. So I just took the last season and go, okay, I need friends. And I felt that gap. I felt that need. And yeah. Gosh, it is not fun when you find yourself in a spot where you don't have friends, because friends just keep you in check.
It's true.
You know, do you guys find that? Like, when I'm walking through a season of not having that friend level, I'm like blowing things up in my head and making crazy assumptions. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing things all skewed. And then I get around some friends and they're just like, hey.
Yeah.
That is not true. What are you doing?
Or you're so normal and relax. Like, of course you're stressed. It's Christmas or whatever. And then you're like, oh, okay, I can get over myself now and just walk through this.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think there's a balance too with friendships. I think I'm the kind of person, I like to call out the best in people. Mm-hmm. But then you also have to balance that with, like, just being there. Mm-hmm. And, and then allowing people to be there for you as well. If you're a strong leader, you tend to, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to just be focused and determined, and I know what I'm doing, and nothing's going to stop me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And really allowing people to speak into my life is important. Mm-hmm. And then speaking into my friends' lives, but with that balance of, like, I want to call out the leader in you and the best in you, mm-hmm. but I also want you to feel loved. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm always trying to find that balance.
That's
with
good.
My friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes my friends are the ones who can say something to me that I need to hear that maybe wouldn't go over as well if, like, say, my husband was saying that.
So true. Amen. Oh, man.
How many times has it been like, oh, she can say that, but when I told you, you're like, yeah.
That has been my entire marriage. Yes. Danny's like, I said that to you yesterday. Yeah. I'm like, well, you said it wrong.
Yeah. Same with Robert. I've heard that so many times.
Yeah. It is good. I mean, we need that sometimes, and we need that feedback. Yeah. And you know, sometimes it just it does matter sometimes who it comes from, the way it comes. And sometimes I'm just, you know, being super honest, but I am a little bit more receptive sometimes, or I go, well, I might get mad at that person if they said it to me, but I'm not going to get mad at you. Or sometimes even it's a matter of trust, obviously not in the sense of my husband, but, like, you know, different people in your life, like some random person could come up to me and say, hey, I just want to give you this feedback, and not having relationship with them, you know, it'd be kind of hard for me to maybe just take that and be like, oh, well, let me go adjust, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there's that level of trust with your friends. When they say something, I go, oh, well, I know I can trust you. We have this, like, history, this friendship built up.
Yeah.
And even if I don't see it, I know I can trust you that it is there, something I need to fix or adjust or whatever it is. So
that's really good.
That's really good. Something about friends is just kind of disarming. You know, like,
so
you're not as emotionally tangled up as you are with a spouse. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, this is definitely not just for women. We're talking about women friendships, and we are all women, but for men too. Mm-hmm. I definitely noticed when Derek's like got his friend game, like is on point, and he's like, you know, he's got his at his guy time and he's connecting with other men versus when he's not. Like, I'll say, I'm like, you need to go get with your friends. Like, just go. Go. True. Get out of the house. You know, and I see that. And I think really any great leader that I look up to or admire, when I, if I have the privilege to get to know anything about their life, they've got a group of people. They've got friends that are pushing them, men or women, you know, they've got some people in their corner.
Yeah. My biggest thing that I always try to encourage people that are in my life is, hey, you don't always are in a season where you have friends. And sometimes it just is hard, but it, you always need to be in a position of pursuit. Like,
that's good.
And open to like, Lord, I don't know who this is. Because so many times we have it in our head who it is supposed to be. And we're probably wrong.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be friends with Kim Kardashian.
I've been waiting for Kim Smith to be my BFF for a long time.
Oh, man.
No, that's really good. Well, we got to talk about this topic in depth. CJ shared some really awesome stuff on friendship and what that looks like. So we are going to listen to that, and then we'll be back.
Friendship can be kind of a cheesy thing to talk about in Christian circles, but for me, this is a much deeper issue, because I feel like friendship, if you read Proverbs, friendship is all throughout there, the importance of people in our life. It's a choice. It's something we're supposed to pursue. And, you know, we all know iron sharpens iron. Right? There's a reason that's in there. And I feel like we can end up getting pretty independent as women because we just have a lot, we have a lot going on in our lives, right? Or, I don't know, you're single, you're working all the time, how do you do this? You know, it's a tricky balance, but I'm aware of the different seasons we walk in. And so I also don't want anybody to feel shame or like, oh my gosh, well, I don't have any friends right now. So I was like very like worried bringing this up, because it's easy to talk about friendship when you have a good friend. But for a lot of people, you don't have a good friend right now. And so number one, I wanted to say that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you that we walk through those seasons. And number two, I want to say that our heart needs to always be in a position of pursuing people to walk through life with. And we always need to be in a place that we're open to who God has. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say, it's just me and Jesus. Because I personally am scared to death if you tell me it's just you and Jesus. And I understand your heart behind that is not something bad. Your heart behind it is you love Jesus and you know he'll get you through. And so I don't think it's a bad place, but man, I've just heard some scary statements. I've done some scary things in the name of it's just me and Jesus. You know, if we're all honest, like, we're human. We come up with the craziest thoughts and opinions. And then when it's just you and Jesus, all of a sudden your voice and his voice start to get a little confused, you know? And then all of a sudden you're like, the Lord told me at Winco, my husband is going to be at aisle 8. And you go wait there all day. And then he's not there. And what do you do? I told Banning I was going to tell this story. And he goes, no, you're not. You're not going to tell that story. Oh, I am. So, do you guys remember when Go-Gurts came out? So when Go-Gurts came out, I really liked them. I don't know why I bought them for my kids, but I ate them. And I don't think I showed them to them. I kept them on the top shelf. And I would eat like 6, 8 in like a quick half hour before anybody knew what had happened to the Go-Gurts. So I wasn't telling Banning about my Go-Gurt eating. I wasn't telling anybody else about my Go-Gurt eating. And one morning, I wake up, and there are little cuts inside my mouth. You know, like inside your lips. And I lay there, and this was in the age of everything spiritual. Everything is demonic, you know? So I laid there like, what is this? Oh my gosh. The enemy is trying to close my mouth. The enemy is trying to shut my prophetic voice. So I heavily carried this for a couple of days. Like, Jesus, I just rebuke the enemy. And then I went and bought some more Go-Gurts. And when I was eating one, it hurt really bad because the Go-Gurt slid right into the cuts it had created before. But these are the things we do. Like if I, luckily the Go-Gurt helped open my eyes, but if I would have walked around informing people that the enemy was closing my mouth with the cuts on the inside, it just would have, well, it would have been embarrassing, number one. But instead I share it with all of you.
Because I love you.
But I laugh at, there's many moments where, I mean, you guys, a few of you have heard, I walked through pretty intense anxiety for a lot of years. I'm sure I was going crazy. And by myself, I probably would have gone crazy. I don't know, it would have been ugly. And I just needed to have people in my life that would look at me and speak truth. You know what I mean? How many times has a friend looked at you and they're thinking, they're just talking and you know, that is the word of the Lord for me. They didn't even mean to say it, you know, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, all right, I get that, Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk this way now. It's not one or the other. You know, we want to live so intensely with the Lord that it's almost like we don't know how to do it with people. It's like, well, I'm going to pursue the Lord and I have to be all by myself. Or I've got all these friends and I don't know how to bring Jesus into it. But a true healthy friendship should push you closer to Jesus. You know, it should draw you to pursue more. I always say, I'm better with people. You know, your friend should make you a better you. I've walked through just different seasons. I was just talking about it today where it's like you have that really good friend and then they move. Or you move, or something happens. And I remember like the day after, kind of this pit, like, well, what am I going to do now? You know, like, shoot. And the Lord was always so faithful to bring somebody in. You know, it didn't always look the way I thought it would. I remember I was in one of those times. It'd been a while without really a friend. And I started working at the church nursery. And the pastor of the church nursery made me a pastor of the three-year-olds. I was a rockin' three-year-old pastor. We had Monday meetings that all of us pastors had to go to. And I remember feeling a little bit annoyed. I didn't know what to do with my kids and la, 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 la. And it was a group of women that, if one of them's in here, I'm sorry, but I never, oh, there she is, Angela. I never would have thought these are my friends. Not because I didn't like them, I didn't know them. They were just, not, they weren't all my age. It was just a different group of people. And they became my people. Like it was the hardest season of my life started in that group. Shoot. And I always look back at them because if I wouldn't have been open to what the Lord had and thought I knew who I need. You know, I need these people. I need other pastors' wives who are doing what I'm doing. But I was a wreck. I would show up as a three-year-old pastor who's supposed to be leading people and cry through the whole pastor's meeting, and these women would just surround me.
Jesus Culture Conference Sacramento, our annual home city conference, has a deep place in our heart. Every gathering we do is to equip people for a lifestyle of revival, to bring wild and hungry hearts together to worship Jesus. This conference is about an eternal impact. It's special because this is the city that we've chosen to adopt in our hearts, to live for, to burn for. We carry this city in our prayers and point our purpose at seeing this city saved. From this city, we want to impact the nations. From this city, We want to send people out for impact and transformation. From Sacramento, we want our praise to be heard. Join us January 22nd and 23rd, 2016, with special guests Benny Perez, Matt Redman, Havilah Cunnington, Chris Durso, Banning Leapshire, and the Jesus Culture Band. Let Jesus' name echo from this city to the ends of the earth. Register today at jesusculture.com/events.
Okay, well, that wraps it up for this podcast. I hope you guys have all enjoyed this wonderful Christmas episode with all the ladies.
You know what, Kim? Last time we did a ladies podcast, one of our guy listeners commented that he turned it on. And then when he found out it was all ladies, he turned it off.
Oh,
so if
my
that's you,
word.
Don't turn this podcast off.
Well, I mean, if they're listening it right now, then yeah, they listen to the end.
That's
so,
right.
And they probably are better for it.
Yes.
Wow.
This is amazing.
It is amazing. And we all have something good to say. Mm-hmm. And even us women have something wonderful to say.
Just us little old ladies.
Yes. Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. So thank you for joining us today. And we hope that you all have a very Merry Christmas. And also, we just want to say one last thing. If you have enjoyed this, it'd be great if you wanted to write a review on iTunes, share this episode with another leader, or connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. All right. See you later.
See ya.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow.